Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst-case scenario. In my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Everyone, thanks for tuning in. Welcome to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where a guest and I figure out who's to blame for history's greatest tragedies. Now, this week we have a very tragic tragedy. We're talking about the Great Molasses Flood of Boston of 1919. This one has been suggested by a few listeners out there, so there is a lot of desire for me to talk about this tragedy. Let's get started. I think you're going to like this one. The Great Molasses Flood of Boston occurred on January 15, 1919, in the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. A large storage tank filled with 2.3 million gallons of molasses burst, and a wave of molasses rushed through the streets. Traveling at approximately 35 miles per hour, it destroyed several city blocks, leveling buildings and damaging automobiles. This flood of thick, dark syrup caused extensive damage. As temperatures dropped after the spill, the hardening molasses made rescue efforts difficult. In the end, 21 people were killed, many of whom were suffocated by the syrup, and approximately 150 were injured. The event entered local folklore, and residents claimed for decades afterwards that the area still smelled of molasses on hot summer days. Fun facts, aka death stats. The tank was located on Commercial Street, not far from Boston Harbor, amidst the hustle and bustle of one of Boston's oldest neighborhoods. The tank's immense size reflected the demand of molasses at the time. It measured more than 50 feet high and 90 feet in diameter, and could hold up to 2.5 million gallons of molasses. The tank burst around 12:30 p.m., just as most local residents and workers were having their lunch. When the accident happened, the tank had 2.3 million gallons in it. It weighed 13,000 tons. That's 26 million pounds. around the same weight of 13,000 Ford cars. Witnesses reported that they felt the ground shake and heard a roar as it collapsed. Others reported a tremendous crashing, a deep growling, a thunderclap-like bang, and a machine gun-like sound as the rivets shot out of the tank. Several blocks were flooded to a depth of 2 to 3 feet deep. Cleanup of molasses was a difficult task. City officials ordered firemen to put a fireboat to work. From the harbor, they aimed seawater at the molasses, coating the sidewalks and streets, and it worked. The dead ranged in age from 10 to 79 years old. And that's all you need to know about the Great Molasses Flood of Boston, 1919. Well, today we have a very, very special guest, one of my closest friends, Maggie Marion.
Wow, what an honor.
Thank you so much for joining me, Maggie.
I mean, I feel I am up to the task of delivering on this many people's requests. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but I'm game for it.
I think people are going to really respond to you.
Okay, good.
Now, right. I always like to talk about what kind of anxieties or odd eccentricities my guests have,
right,
you know, before, why they'd be a perfect guest on this show.
Right.
And for you, as I was thinking about you, you know, I know something about you. Your husband, Adam Lustig, who you guys might remember from the Titanic
kicked
episode.
It off.
He kicked it off.
Yeah.
He was a great first guest.
Yeah.
He has told me something about you that...
Okay. All right.
I know is true.
Okay.
And is kind of revelatory of your anxieties.
Let's hear it.
When someone gives you a compliment, says something nice about you,
yeah,
to him,
yeah,
and then he comes home and he tells you, hey, so-and-so said something nice about you.
Yes.
You want him,
right,
to tell you what the compliment was,
uh-huh,
but not just that. You want him to reenact,
correct,
how,
that's right,
the compliment was said and,
yes,
in what tone.
Yes.
And that's
reasonable.
I was going to say, and that's crazy.
No, that, see, because here's the thing. Adam, I love him very dearly. I trust him in all the ways that a wife, uh-huh, should trust her husband.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I don't trust, or I should say, here's what I can't rely on.
No, let's say, use the word trust.
Okay.
Because I love that you're not trusting.
In this one area.
Great. We all have them.
Is his interpretation of the fine details of the context under which the compliment was given. I am more observant. I have, my superpower is to scan a situation quickly, accurately. I can, like, you know, really see all the angles at a time. So not only can I interpret the compliment for the just word definition of the words present, but also what was unsaid. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Yeah,
body,
yeah,
language is a huge thing.
Huge.
As Ursula, my idol from Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Uh-huh.
Body language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ha.
Ha. Don't forget the ha.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I think recreation is key. Because
you know,
otherwise you're really just saying someone said something nice about,
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And what I like about this particular aspect of your personality,
mm-hmm,
is that, you know, you like full picture.
That's right.
You don't just like to read,
yeah,
something. You need more context.
Yeah.
And that is perfect. So let's hope your superpowers.
Yeah.
Let's put them to good use.
Okay, great.
And figure out who's to blame for this great molasses flood.
I'm going to go out on a wild limb already.
Okay, wow.
Okay, but 1919 was the year that women got suffrage.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought it up because that was one of the fun facts I didn't read because I was like...
Well, okay. So, and I feel like, you know how it's how the chef is always a man and then like the pastry chef is always a woman?
Okay.
How, like, what is that about? Like sweets. There's something about like sweets that are like femme.
Yeah. I mean, I know this from MasterChef, but go on.
I mean, yeah.
MasterChef,
exactly.
Junior, I should. I'm sorry. I should specify.
Syllabize.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like there is something about the fact that it's sweet. Like if it was like the great Tabasco sauce flood of 1919.
That would be a man? You think that would be a man?
Would be like, don't you remember? Don't you remember the Tabasco flood? But because it's sweet, because it's molasses, that like people, it's too silly or something like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's going
it's,
out
do you think it's too feminine? It's too, it's one
I
of
think
our
it's
feminine
too
tragedies.
Feminine. I think it is too feminine.
Well, let's see. Let's see if it's the disaster happened in 1919, and it wasn't until August 18, 1920 that the 19th Amendment was granted and women had the right to vote.
Oh, okay.
So this was pre.
Oh, excuse me.
While this tragedy happened, women still couldn't vote. Well, but, you know, just
so there
keep
you
that
go.
In the back of your head.
Women didn't have the right to vote at this time when this happened.
Yes.
Which that feels parallel somehow.
We'll,
intersecting.
We'll figure that
we'll
out.
We'll get there.
It might not have anything to do with it, but I always, you always got to think
wanna
maybe.
You want to set the scene.
Yes. Now, a big, let's dive right in. Who's to blame for this flood? Off the bat, I want to talk about this tank.
Okay. Let's talk about the tank.
And I want to talk about the company that
ran the tank.
Yeah, the company that was behind this tank.
Okay.
So I'll read you some information I looked up. So the tank was operated by the Purity Distilling Company, a subsidiary of the United States Industrial Alcohol. That's USIA. At the time, industrial alcohol, then made from fermented molasses, was highly profitable. It was used to make ammunition and other weaponry for World War I, which was 1914 through 1918. Also, think about this. Post-World War I. So the tank was problematic from the start. It leaked and it often emitted rumbling noises.
Can I tell you a red flag already?
Please.
The word purity.
Purity.
You know if purity is in the name... It ain't pure, baby. If someone's telling you purity, then run. Run away.
So you're suspicious of Purity Distilling Company.
Oh, yeah.
So nevertheless, the tank continued to be used. And after the war's conclusion, USIA focused on producing grain alcohol, which was in high demand as prohibition neared passage.
Shoot.
That's another big thing. Prohibition.
Shoot.
Came about.
Yeah.
I believe it was 1920. So that was the year. It was a year later.
It was actually very tied to the suffrage movement because women, there was a big push, you know, women's rights didn't want men drinking anymore.
So did USIA construct a weak tank?
Uh-huh.
Right? This is the big question. So this is what I found out. Arthur Gell.
Arthur Gell.
His name is Arthur Gell, spelled J-E-L-L. He is USIA's treasurer.
Mm-hmm. Now, follow the money.
I'm touching my nose, which means exactly.
Uh-huh.
He told the court auditor during the hearings that proceeded after the flood. This is post-flood, right? That he had asked the Hammond Iron Works Company to build the tank in 1914, and he admitted that it was built quickly.
Okay, that sounds like passing the buck, Mr. You know? Gell.
Well, Gell says that at the time, World War I was already going on, but the U.S. hadn't entered the war. Okay. But the warring nations needed weapons and ammunition, and it was a lot of business to be made from these foreign customers.
Sure.
So USIA was converting molasses into alcohol, which another company then used to make the ammunition.
Interesting.
And the sooner the tank was made, the sooner the USIA could make money, of course.
Well, there we go. Capitalism on the board.
I mean, let's just put capitalism on the board. And USIA. USIA.
Okay. Yes. And USIA. Yes.
So we've got two things up on the board.
And USIA, was responsible for what? Was the parent company under which the other company...
Purity Distilling Company
was operating to make this tank to sell ammunition overseas for World War I.
Yes. Okay. And so they essentially Purity Distilling is almost like a contractor they've hired.
Gotcha.
But they're being run and they're being told what to do by this larger company.
Yeah.
As is the Hammond Iron Works company. They're
that made the tank. Manufactured the actual tank. Okay.
They're like a contractor.
Gotcha.
So on December 15, 1915, the tank was not ready. But they were expecting a shipment of molasses on December 31st.
Ba, ba, ba.
So men worked all day and night to get the job done. Jell, Mr. Arthur Jell.
I mean, Jell is, it does seem like we're living in a simulation because it gelled and then people couldn't be saved. There is a literary quality to the name, right? Am I crazy?
What came first? The name or the tragedy? Yeah. So Jell admitted that when the tank was finished, this is really important.
Okay.
He skipped an important test. He didn't fill the tank with water to make sure it could hold more than 2 million gallons of liquid without leaking because there was no time.
Have you ever gotten a hole in your tire and you spray it with soapy water to see if where the holes come because the bubbles bubble out where the hole is?
No, I've never done that. I just, if it pops up in my...
Dashboard.
I just go straight to an American Tire.
USIA American Tire. Yeah. Oh no, Purity Tires.
Yeah, I never go for the Purity Tire.
Okay. So they didn't run this test to see if there were any leaks.
Exactly.
And I'm sure there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no time.
There was no time.
And, you know, money was to be made.
Yeah. I mean, opportunism. War, people are warring and you're worried about making a buck, Mr. Jell.
And that is extremely dangerous.
It's dangerous.
I mean, you don't... I have to admit.
Was the tank... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go first.
Was the tank always intended to hold molasses?
Yes. That was the sole purpose of the tank.
Save the molasses dance for me.
Because...
I have a question. So the molasses, when it was coming over on the ship, was it in what, barrels?
Great question.
Independent barrels, and then they loaded it all in?
Unsure.
Why did they have to... forgo the smaller containers for the larger container.
Right.
Well, they
had
to get it off the boats probably because, you know, you have to unload them.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to cost you money if the boat has to sit and wait for you. Right off the bat, we have capitalism, which I love.
Yeah.
USIA, which is like an obvious one.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
They ordered the rickety tank.
Yeah.
So before we go any further, I want to talk about the possibility of an explosion.
Just the possibility of one.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again, another man, Walter Wedger.
Uh-huh. Okay. He had the right to vote.
Yes. As did Arthur.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. He's an inspector for the Massachusetts State Police.
Okay.
And he's an expert on explosives at the time. So, he comes to Boston to look at the tank a few days after after the flood. And he thought... there must have been an explosion because if the tank had simply collapsed, pieces of the tank would not have scattered.
Okay.
So it would have just fallen down.
Sure.
He told reporters that he didn't think a bomb had made the tank explode because this was something that the USIA, the second it happened, the second the flood happened, they started saying that a bomb.
Terrorism.
Yeah. Anarchists. Sure. They called them anarchists back then.
Sure.
And... or those were the main target, right? So he didn't think a bomb could have it made the tank
so he
explode.
Was called in to be like, "There, sir, it must have been a bomb." And he looked at it and he's
and
like,
he looked at it, no.
Sorry, gents,
I don't
ain't
think
no
so.
Bomb here.
He knew that the molasses in the tank could ferment and produce a gas.
That was the whole point, right? Which is to ferment the molasses into alcohol to sell for weaponry.
Yes.
Okay.
But that tank was not made...
To ferment. I see.
It was just a holding tank that then USIA would then send it to...
be fermented.
I forget exactly where it is. I have that written down somewhere, but...
yeah.
Somewhere where it would be properly fermented.
Okay.
And he was like, nope, not an explosion.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, not a bomb.
Not a bomb.
Possibly a gas explosion.
Well.
So, just to kind of get these... things out there.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to put a gas explosion on the board.
Sure, a gas explosion. Okay, mm-hmm. I still think that goes back to a faulty piece of equipment and the person who and USIA.
Sure.
I still think. But was the molasses, because I feel like, you know how kombucha ferments. I don't know why I'm thinking about that because you know, don't leave your kombucha bottles in the car because it could explode.
Oh, I did not know that.
I'll be right back. My car is brimming.
I was thinking of garages. You know how people make their own kombucha in the garage?
Sure.
I was thinking about that.
Well, so were they thinking that they were going to move this molasses? Was there like that? And it was sitting there longer than they anticipated? Longer than they anticipated so the gas could build up?
I don't think it was sitting there. I think there were other...
Because that's a lot of molasses.
It is a lot of molasses, but...
It's an almost insane amount of molasses.
And I guess they just... They were anticipating prohibition coming up. And so they were trying to make a lot of alcohol because... so that people could stock up,
sure.
Essentially. So that's why it was on such a high demand.
Okay. Prohibition. So to me, prohibition goes on the board.
Oh, my God.
And then, I mean, do you blame the suffragettes if you're going to put prohibition on the board?
We have to. At least for now, we have to.
Okay. All
we
right.
We have to.
Do I put
for
them as
intellectual
one?
Rigor.
Should I do them as one, prohibition and the suffragettes?
No, do them as two, I think.
Okay.
I think them as two.
And I'm realizing that maybe we've jumped a little bit too quickly into who's to blame. We should talk about the actual tragedy,
sure.
And how it unfolded. So
people are having their turkey sandwiches.
They're, you know, all the workers are just hanging out on a break and boom, this thing explodes. Now, I was reading this book, first of all, it's a preteen book, but I found it very interesting. I got it out of the Altadena Library.
Our favorite place to work.
I love it. And they only had a preteen book, so I was sure. Like, heck, give it to me. And Deborah Copps, that's with a K. She writes a great book for children.
And adults.
And adults, apparently. But it has a lot of pictures, as one would want in a children's book. Although
it is a preteen.
Exactly.
More than a child.
It's a preteen. It's
more than a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
there are chapters in this.
The way that I have found a lot of these books like to talk about tragedies is they tell you a story.
Sure.
So they do it in the perspective of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And I find it very bold that Deborah, like, you know, uses some of the real people who actually died.
You're policing Deborah Copps?
No, I'm not policing. Uh-oh. I'm just saying, you know, Deborah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What's your way to live?
I was a little upset when I found out little 10-year-old Maria died.
Ugh.
Yeah. So something that happened during this time.
Being a preteen does not save you from tragedies.
No. And I guess Deborah's doing God's work.
I guess
in
so.
In all fairness, she's helping us all. She talks about the kids at the time, they would run to the molasses tank, and since it was already
leaking,
it wasn't as good as candy.
But according to Deborah,
right. the molasses wasn't as good as candy, but it was sweet enough, and that's why there were two children who passed away.
They were getting sweets.
I know, it's terribly, terribly sad.
I relate to that.
Yeah, I mean. You're a kid. You're a 10-year-old kid.
You love sweets.
Yeah.
There's a tank. There's a huge tank of sweets that's just oozing. I mean, there is something reminiscent to like the house, the witch's house in the middle of the forest made out of sweets, like luring Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Like,
I feel
it's
like
it's a gingerbread house, right?
I think so.
Yeah. A delicious gingerbread.
Wouldn't you go there? Wouldn't you want to go there?
I mean.
Oh, poor Maria.
I know. Poor Maria and Vincenzo, I think, was the other.
Italians.
Yeah,
must have been an Italian.
It was an immigrant part of town.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a lot of...
So maybe racism goes
Italians
up on the board.
Italians and Irish. Because...
They put it in a neighborhood full of people that were they didn't care about. Boston.
That's interesting.
You know how, like, coal plants are near these poor towns and, like, you know, they just... It could have been in a safer area. If it had exploded and there was nobody around.
I mean, I guess it could have been in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
But it would have to have been by a port somewhere.
Yeah, so I guess it couldn't have been. They had to put it somewhere.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't think it was strategically placed there.
Fair, fine.
Based on
I'm throwing things out there. our boards are a little lean.
I mean, I like you just blaming everything. I'm usually like, yeah, let's put them up.
Well, I mean, racism and capitalism, my two favorite scapegoats.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I can put racism up with a little question mark.
I nothing nothing I read pointed in that direction, but I guess. So another thing about the tragedy or the flood was that...
Or the great tragedy.
The great. The just bad? How about bad. Incredibly bad, bad tragedy?
Sad tragedy, yeah.
Was that... It happened very fast and it was incredibly thick. Mm. And it just kind of like swept. The way people described it was a blanket, a brown blanket that
gross.
Was taking over. And
it sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
It's terrible. It just took, if you happen to be in a house or anything, it just took your house down. And
I mean, it's horrifying.
It's crazy. It took down an entire fire station.
Wow.
And then it just went into the ocean. It just like went right in. But the cleanup, you know, think about the cleanup.
Yeah.
For a syrup.
Think about molasses cleanup for molasses on your carpet.
I mean, just if it falls on a table, it's like if you're eating pancakes and a little syrup yeah. falls on your table, it's
a bummer.
It's a bummer.
It's an inconvenience. It's a great tragedy of your table.
And this would be a great bummer.
Yeah, it'd be a great bummer. Tell me if you came across this in your reading, that they were actually heating, they would heat up the molasses to transport it from vessel to vessel more quickly.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is what I wanted to talk about regarding the shipments.
Okay.
So the day before the molasses flood,
uh-huh.
there was a shipment delivered to the tank, and it was a fresh load of molasses, which was warmed to reduce its viscosity.
Right.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Viscosity for transfer.
Right.
So they did warm it because it had to go in pipes, right? Into the tank.
And I mean, slow as molasses is like a joke. Like people, I mean, is like an idiom.
I've heard of that saying. I'm kidding. I have.
Slow as molasses. So you have to eat it because otherwise it would take, you know.
Or yeah. It's like, don't they say it's like walking through molasses?
Mm.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Walking through molasses.
I don't think
I've ever heard that, but I understand the metaphor.
So this was a really interesting part. It's January 15, 1919.
Brr.
Typical day in Boston.
Cold. It's January.
Very cold. 2 degrees.
That's really cold.
It was 2 degrees when people woke up that day. It ended up being a sunny day. And by lunchtime, which we know everyone was having lunch when it happened, temperatures had reached 40 degrees.
Okay.
Which was very toasty
livable.
For a winter in Boston.
Very nice.
But think about that.
So they were like, let me get outside.
No, I think about that for the molasses.
Oh.
So it's a thick.
You're always put yourself in the POV of the molasses.
So
you're feeling, if you're the molasses, you're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling slippery, feeling good,
yeah,
ready to move.
Yeah.
Rebecca
baby.
Does a lot of research for this podcast. She goes so deep that she has to become the molasses.
I always want to write a book from the point of view of the molasses.
Point of view, exactly. I take everyone's point of view. So the molasses feeling good.
Yeah.
Burst, right? It comes down.
Yeah.
It wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
Into this part of town, into this neighborhood. And then the sun starts to set and it gets cold again.
Yeah.
And what do you think happens?
Walking through molasses.
No.
Oh.
It starts freezing up.
Which means it
crystallizes?
Expands or contracts?
Well, anything that freezes.
Well,
no, it just makes things expand.
But it makes it hard
water,
for them to start rescue.
Sure, of course.
I mean, people are essentially unable to move. It makes it thicker.
I mean, it's hellish. I mean, it sounds like quicksand, like worse quicksand.
Just
because
I can't imagine.
If you're in quicksand, you know you're in trouble. But if you're in molasses,
you're like, you stick your tongue out and,
maybe.
And you're like, that's sweet, but I can't breathe. Oh, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
So what happened was that, you know, these rescue efforts became difficult, right? And there were people that were stuck underneath these buildings with like...
awful.
Terrible. And then they would take them to the hospital and imagine being injured, right?
Okay.
You're in pain.
I'm there.
You're
Ow.
In pain.
I'm Ow. In pain. Yeah. And I'm cold.
super cold. You get to the hospital and they're like, before we can do anything, we need to clean,
right,
scrub the molasses off. We have to
put you in scalding hot water.
or what they did was the salt water, which is a terrible thing for a wound. Anyway, I wanted to put in the heat, like perhaps a January heat wave up on the board.
Okay, January the climate. Heat wave.
Yes.
So you think that if it had stayed cold, then the hot molasses that was added to the top wouldn't have caused such a reaction?
I think the quick change of temperature. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure that makes it, that'll make it emit
gas,
carbon dioxide specifically.
Okay.
There's this guy by the name of Isaac Gonzalez.
Okay. I was expecting his name to be like Isaac Gas.
I was actually pretty intrigued. Gas?
Yeah.
But yeah, because of the gas.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like maybe an Irish name or an Italian name.
I was intrigued by the Gonzalez myself. Yeah, I'm intrigued by Gonzalez too, but I feel like we've been getting kind of prophetic names.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In this telling of the story. So yeah. Okay.
No, just regular old Gonzalez.
Okay.
One of the most popular Spanish names. So he worked at the molasses tank, right? In the pump room.
Prime gig. I got my primo gig at the molasses tank.
His parents were super proud.
Okay.
And one of his responsibilities was to make sure that the pipeline and the tank was tightly sealed when the molasses got pumped into it.
Okay.
Okay. After working the tank for a while, so he's been at this job for a while, something disturbing happened. A ship arriving from the Caribbean made a big delivery of molasses that was light and warm, and the tank had an expansion and began to leak. So note to self, when it's warmer, it does expand. When it's cold, it contracts.
Okay.
So it starts to leak. When asked how big the leak was, because this is during the hearings, mm-hmm. he was asked by the judge, how mm-hmm. big was the leak? He says, Gonzalez replies, enough to make a pool. Enough to make a pool.
Like a swimming pool?
Or just a pool. I guess he doesn't step. But okay. I thought a swimming pool too, but I guess back in the day you could say
maybe make more a like pool? A puddle.
A puddle. Yeah, okay.
Puddle.
When asked if the leaks were all around the tank, Gonzalez replied, it started with about four little leaks and ended up with the almost every seam. So every seam.
So this was, tank. I mean, this was a powder keg. If powder, it was a molasses keg.
It was a molasses keg with carbon dioxide, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Ready to explode.
Okay.
So Gonzalez goes on to say that he told Mr. Gel,
mm-hmm.
about the leaks. And Gel sent some men to plug the leaks with caulking.
Okay. Gross.
Which, by the way, I've caulked before.
Yeah, like, gross.
Caulking, why are you saying gross?
Because it's touching molasses that then you're eating.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking.
Oh. I was thinking like, okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, I was just thinking
guess you're not eating it. You're making it into bullets or something and sending it to world.
Yeah, or you're making Germany, it into so. Alcohol. Like, okay, it's okay, fine. I take it we'll back. Drink anything.
I think just the idea, just maybe I was responding to just the visceral word.
Oh, I was thinking like it. Caulking isn't very strong. I mean,
no,
you use it to plug like your kitchen sink, like the areas that,
and then you have to redo out. It.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
So I would never like caulk my actual sink like the
you wouldn't caulk your swimming drain. Pool. Right.
Definitely not.
Right.
So they're
that's just simple home improvement.
It.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And a week later, the tank was leaking badly again. Mm-hmm. Okay, no duh. He said that every time a molasses shipment arrived from the Caribbean Sea, there was about 4 inches of foam on the surface of the molasses of the tank.
Okay, now it was appropriate.
Okay, and he thought the molasses was fermenting. Mm. The foam Gonzalez was talking about
was delicious.
I don't know if he tried. That would have been a great question.
Send poor little Maria and Vincenzo to give it a try.
Oh,
sorry, but
Vincenzo.
I know.
So the bubbles were carbon dioxide. Mm. Some liquids can ferment in an environment where there's little oxygen. If there's no vent to let the gas out, it can explode. So, but the USIA wanted the molasses to ferment in its factory in Cambridge, not in the tank. Okay. So that was
Gonzalez seems like a fall guy to me. I don't want to put Gonzalez on the board.
No.
I think he did. I mean, his I job. Think
have we put Arthur Gell in there?
Oh yeah, he's got to
He's got to go up there because he's the guy who sent the cock the men to cock.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll take care of that, Gonzalez. I got a guy. We'll send him over. And yeah.
This sounds like when my dad is I'll fix it.
I'll fix it.
Or like
put some rubber bands on it, call it a day.
Yeah. It feels like a lot of people are just not
phoning it in.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, there is like a world war that is pretty
over.
Yeah, you're still coping though.
I mean, if we're putting prohibition out,
world war
that they started doing this. The whole molasses tank was put up for ammunition because they were making ammunition.
War goes on the board.
War's got, if we're putting prohibition
in. Give peace a chance. You know what I mean? Yeah, war goes on the board for sure. I agree. If suffragettes are up there.
100%. So we're not going to put Gonzalez up because I don't feel good about that.
He made his report.
Exactly.
He was a faithful steward.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe there's something with this. Go on. You look like you want to say something.
Well, I want to, I mean, racism may not have made it, or it made it with an asterisk, but I do think that city planning must have something to do with it, because, like, yes, it needed to be by a port. However, like, it was a huge amount of molasses, but it did seem to be in a place that swept down the streets.
I mean, it could have been poorer side of town. I mean, those two things are usually
connected.
Couldn't
it have been closer to the port, potentially, if it knocked out blocks?
I think it was pretty close. I'm sure some listeners out there from Boston know exactly how close.
North End?
It was on Commercial Street in North End neighborhood.
Commercial doesn't sound like a cozy residential street, I guess.
Also, it's not a good street to have a molasses flood on.
No. Now, if we're really trying to kind of force racism in there. I may have
Maggie's.
I may have found a way because I just was kind of interested in this whole molasses trade that was going on. And you said that it came from the Caribbean. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of it.
So apparently, I don't know if you have done any research hit on this, but so in the 17th and 18th centuries, the British colonies of the Americas, molasses was a major trading product. So this came down from colonialism. Molasses was produced via the exploitation of enslaved persons in sugar plantations in the Caribbean, which was also called the West Indies. It was controlled by England, Spain, and France. And then the English colonies along the Atlantic purchased molasses and used it to produce rum, primarily in distilleries in New England. So I don't know.
Okay,
I mean, so this is just they're getting used to this molasses that originated, you know, back in the day. But it's a stretch.
Can you blame racism for the flood?
I mean, for it being such a tragedy, maybe. That's the point of like, no, it probably would have happened with or without racism. Yeah. I don't think that racism necessarily was the straw that broke the camel's back there. However, I'm not going to die on this hill, but just that it was in an area. It had such a definite devastating impact.
Right.
Because of racism.
I understand. I just don't think we can blame it.
I'm like I said, it's not a hill I want to die on. I'm more interested in nailing gel to the wall. I mean, like, really, that's kind
of... Honestly, and getting women's suffrage off the wall.
Off the wall, yeah. Prying that off.
So, the other person or group, let's say, that I wanted to kind of throw up there and discuss...
Okay.
Were the anarchists...
Okay.
Okay. So at the time of the flood, a group of anarchists mostly made up of Italian immigrants.
Okay.
Had been holding secret meetings in East Boston, which is
opposite
the North End.
Okay.
There's a bunch of Italians everywhere
here, sure,
in Boston at the time. They had been suspected of being behind two bombings of a church and a police station in 1916.
Ouch.
So the USIA, they suggested that maybe the anarchist fighters had also planted a bomb on the molasses tank. This mm-hmm. is when they all went to court.
Yep.
And, you know, they're hearing proceedings.
I'm interested in who the court found to be at fault.
Well... They made their case. The USIA made their case about this anarchist. They wanted to prove that it was them.
But Isaac Gass said that it wasn't their fault, right? Or no, the explosion expert.
That was one of the chiefs of police.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't a judge.
Okay.
He was just someone.
But he said no explosion, no bomb.
He said no bomb, but USIA is saying it definitely was a bomb.
Narrative.
And the whole reason they wanted to push this narrative was because if it was found.
Because of racism.
No.
Oh, against Italians?
No.
Okay.
Because if it was found to be true, the judge or the jury could claim that they were the ones responsible for the flood, and the USIA wouldn't have to pay any of the victims of the flood. Mm-hmm. So it's
capitalism's back.
Mm. Yeah. I think way more than racism. It's capitalism.
Me too. I agree.
Not to say that racism
hand in glove, though.
Can't
hand in glove
be blamed for a lot of things. I just don't think this is the correct tragedy.
Fair enough.
So no evidence really showed, other than the fact that they were an active group at the time, the anarchists, there was never any evidence that they actually played any, you know, part.
Yeah, that smacks very much of like FBI's blaming Black Panthers or something like that.
Sure.
Like, to talk about racism.
Yeah.
A little more. but who did the court find to be at fault?
So they actually used an arbitrator.
Okay.
It was still, you know... through the court system, sure. But there was no jury. And
to find out who was like legally obligated, legally responsible for this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I usually at the end of the episode talk about what happened after the flood, but right. I think this is really important and will help us
okay.
figure out who's to blame. So months after the flood, Judge Bolster, that mm-hmm. was the name of the judge, sent his report to a grand jury. A jury of men looked at the evidence.
Mm-hmm. They could vote.
They could vote, and it was only men mm-hmm. and a jury. they looked at the evidence gathered by police and experts and determined that they didn't believe USIA was guilty of a crime. The company could not be tried for manslaughter.
Mm.
So they were presumed. So
it was just like, this was like an act of...
Just an accident.
Accident. An accident. So an act of God? So is God, should we put God up on the board? But anarchists are not going on the board.
Anarchists are not. I mean, we can put them up there, but I'm going to quickly cross them off
because they didn't have any. They were just sort of like,
yeah. I just wanted to throw it out there because that was the whole thing. Right. That was the argument.
Yeah.
So,
was it the same? Was it the shipping company that warmed the molasses that put it on top of the cold molasses?
We could blame them, although I think that was just standard procedure.
Mm.
And there's no way to take it off the boat. It was warmer, though, because it was coming from the Caribbean. That's apparently right. the way Gonzalez talks about it. It sounds like
it's like this hot Caribbean
this was the hot molasses versus, I don't know, maybe New Hampshire. They're known for their molasses.
I think that's maple syrup.
Yeah, we'll have to. Amanda, can you fact check?
Well, molasses is made from sugar cane.
Uh-huh.
And maple syrup is made from maple trees.
Oh, yeah, because molasses is used in some baking.
Right.
Like if you have a ginger molasses cookie, that's one of my favorite cookies. But I've never heard of people putting molasses on their pancakes.
I still think it would be good. That's why I was going with it.
Yeah, maybe I think you incorrectly have.
Agave syrup.
That might have been a misunderstanding on my part.
Or molasses, like molasses makes brown sugar brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you were kind of connecting, and you had me for a second, connecting maple syrup and molasses.
Oh, I see.
But they're separate.
They're different.
Because maple syrup is literally maple tapped from a maple tree.
Right.
Got it.
Molasses goes through a process
right.
made from sugar cane. Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe I am, you know, Puerto Rican Cuban descent, so maybe my family just used the molasses.
It's possible.
I know.
In my mind, molasses, it's like a yellow can with a grandma on it. Is that?
Oh, yes. No, you're right.
Yellow
I don't
can
know if that's
with
right.
a grandma.
Yeah, there's...
Aunt Jemima, are you thinking?
No.
A yellow can with a
no. You're
again,
right.
That's maple syrup. I think.
Look, okay. Look, Maggie, grandma's molasses.
Yes. Oh, okay. Wow.
And it's in a jar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that with a red label.
Right.
That's what I put in my pancakes.
And actually, just a side note, that molasses actually seems to have a lot of health benefits for
okay.
you. Yeah, it's very mineral and vitamin rich, apparently.
So they,
sign me up.
That was something I did read, that people were coming from out of this neighborhood to kind of like can the molasses and take it away.
Wouldn't you? If it's like you're post-war and there's just a natural, and there's just money seeping out in the form of molasses from some big tanker in the middle of town, wouldn't you go with your jar and fill it up? I would.
Yeah, and then use it for baking and, you know, make yourself a cake.
Yeah.
Can you tell me you can use molasses in cakes?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So we're not going to put the anarchists up.
No.
And molasses is different from maple.
Syrup.
And I don't think that we can really blame this shipment.
Okay. So, great. It seems to me that, I mean, the USIA seems negligent to me. Just, right?
As of now, yeah. They're very, they smell like fish. They're stinky.
They're stinky like fish. Because Gonzalez was like, excuse me.
That's, to me, one of the most damning pieces of evidence.
I want to put in face. I want to put a name to blame. I want to put a man to blame.
Okay.
I mean, a person.
Yes.
And because, like, the USIA, it's like, I want to.
Oh, we have Jell on the board.
Okay.
Arthur Jell is up on the board.
I like Jell for it because the USIA has a lot of things going on where it's like, yes, there was a war. There was a world war. They're distracted. They can't micromanage everything. They've delegated to Jell. Jell, you're in charge of this molasses tank. I mean, can we take this thing all the way to the top?
Well, God's on the list, so.
You'd like to take down Woodrow Wilson?
He's going down.
Put him up on the board. Although, I think he's doing a lot of good for women's rights, or...
I don't know.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see when we start crossing people off the list, if he stays long enough.
Okay.
So the last thing I just want to talk about and throw up in there. Judge Bolster. This is something I read that kind of blew me away. Judge Bolster, who was assigned the case, told the Boston Daily Globe newspaper on February 8, 1919, so a few weeks after, that he thought the ordinary citizens of Boston were partly to blame for pinching pennies.
I'm rolling my eyes.
They wanted to keep their taxes low, and as a result, the building department of the city did not have enough money to do its job properly.
Hmm.
One of the building department's jobs was to study building plans and approve them. If the department thought a building or structure was not going to be safe, it refused to give its approval. According to Judge Bolster, the inspection on the tank should not have been approved. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
So the judge is kind of throwing the citizens themselves under the bus.
Because they wanted lower taxes, so they didn't have a funded building inspection department.
Yes, it was underfunded. And they couldn't, you know, go to study building
plans. I still feel like that's like blaming, that's punching down a little bit, as they say.
Well, but I think it's an interesting point that we have a responsibility as a society, right? To make sure that we have a government that
is funded
and also that works properly. You know,
right.
You know, we're kind of checking all of our.
Well, I mean, if this doesn't tie into today, not to make it too relevant to today, but like. Then couldn't you blame like the news media for not informing people so that they could make an informed decision about who to vote, what politician to vote for, who's going to correctly fund the government? And I mean, I'm sure there was fat somewhere in the government that they could have redistributed funds to make buildings safe.
I mean,
where was Judge Bolster going to lunch, you know?
Judge Bolster was, I'm not sure where he went to lunch or if he preferred sandwiches or soups or what he liked to eat or what his wife packed,
right.
You know? But I think that what he's trying to do here, and I agree with you to a certain extent that he's like punching down, but I also think he's trying to like, make people aware that they need to care more.
Sure, but also if the fat cats didn't want to sell this molasses, make it into weapons of war to make money off of, wouldn't there not be a problem? A problem. And like a problem, what was it, like 13,000 cars worth of molasses? That's an insane amount of molasses to be in one big pot. I mean, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's an engineering problem in and of itself, more so than the buildings. I mean, right?
But the building department or whatever.
I mean, can you blame a building department for not anticipating a molasses flood?
They should have been looking at all the new buildings that were being built, especially, I would say, the huge tank that's going up on the north end. That's holding like tons and tons of molasses. Like, wouldn't that be number one on your priority?
To check.
That and like the elevated train? I don't know.
Didn't it break the elevated train too?
It did, yeah.
So you want to put the Boston people on the board, huh?
I don't know about the Boston people, but I kind of want to put the building department. Because, again, there was one. It's not that there was no building department.
I'm going to follow your lead there. To me, it does not call to my heart.
Do we want to put the citizens of Boston for not paying taxes, for not wanting to pay taxes?
I want to be empathetic because it is like wartime and it's like, I don't know, were they rationing anyway? It's like, you know, you want to...
Times were tough.
Times were tough.
You do make a good point.
Times were tough. And So I don't know. I'm more inclined to put the building department like an institution up than Joe Schmo Boston. Mr. Boston.
Okay, well let's slap him on there. Let's put him up.
Building department or Joe Schmo Boston.
Building department.
Okay. Yeah, they're up here. So right now we have capitalism, the USIA, gas explosion, prohibition, suffragettes, racism, January heat wave, Arthur Gell, war, Woodrow Wilson, and the building department.
Okay, so the only two names we have up there are Gell and Wilson.
Yeah.
And I mean,
And the USIA as a company.
As a company, right. Yeah. I mean, if it's not going to be a person, this is, I mean, it was my first instinct.
Yes.
Capitalism.
I mean, I get it. But here's the thing. It's like you can blame capitalism for a lot of things. And capitalism, like a lot of things are happening because of capitalism. And there aren't floods of that.
Right. It wasn't greed.
No, I think it plays into it.
Okay.
I think it does.
Well, then Gell. Arthur Gell, right?
let's start by crossing people off the
list. Okay. All right.
So I think for me...
God didn't make it.
God.
Oh, no. Do you
God
want him
didn't
on?
Make it. And you know what? Don't put him on there. I also think we could take racism off.
I agree.
You know, it's like I always
I tried to make the argument. It didn't work.
You always want Hitler and racism
yes,
to go up there.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But Hitler's not born yet or no. not active yet.
Yeah, no. He's not active. he might be.
I think he's probably born, but not causing trouble yet.
But so I don't think this is their tragedy to blame.
Okay. Yes. Removed.
Yeah.
You're off the hook this time, racism.
Until we meet again.
So, okay. I know you love Woodrow
Wilson.
I know you love him for this.
Yeah, I do.
Because,
I mean, if you go to the top, it stinks from the head.
Yes.
And we're making weapons of war with this molasses. We've got government agencies involved, making shady deals with weird contractors, trickle down culpability.
But in all fairness, I don't think is personally like super involved.
Did he weigh in? I wonder if he weighed in, if he made any statements about it.
Unclear.
Unclear.
Unclear if he did. But I personally want to take him off the list because I don't think he's what caused this tragedy.
I'm good with that. Okay. He's off.
So left up on the list, we have capitalism,
mm-hmm.
USIA, gas explosion,
mm-hmm.
prohibition, suffragettes.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
January heat wave,
mm-hmm.
Arthur Gell, mm-hmm. war, and the building department.
Okay. I really don't like gas explosion.
Okay.
Because that is not...
That's a result.
That's a result.
Yes.
That's a result and a predictable result.
Yeah.
So for it not to have been predicted that is just the natural sciences doing their thing.
For people who are in the business of fermenting molasses,
exactly.
You should see that coming.
Exactly.
That's a no
doubt. Exactly. All right. So I don't, I mean.
Yeah. I think I feel.
It wasn't like spontaneous, unique, one-off gas accumulation.
That's coming off the list.
Bye.
And I am also.
Bye-bye.
Wanting to take capitalism off the list.
I know.
I know we have some strong feelings about this.
Okay. All right. If we can keep war on, I'll give you capitalism.
That's not how it works.
Okay, all right. You can take capitalism off
just because I feel like it's a little too
a huge
broad.
Faulty vat of molasses. Doesn't that like to me? That's like weird. That's like weird industrial revolution money schemey thing. Like,
it is money.
Yeah. It's like a clearly dangerous thing to have a leaking football field size vat of molasses in the middle of town.
Okay, so we'll keep it on there. We'll keep it up here for
okay,
a little while.
Thanks.
Let's see if... let's talk January heat wave. I mean, that... it was an element of that, that made the tragedy and maybe even like sped it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was more carbon dioxide mm-hmm. being emitted because mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't think
again,
it's to blame.
40 degrees isn't such a notable heat wave, I think, that it shouldn't have been in the margin of error for the construction of this thing.
Well, but what I think was a big part of it was the 2 to 40.
Right.
So it's not that, you know, I'm sure it was 90 degrees at some point during the summer. So it's not the actual temperature. It's the change
fluctuation.
Of temperature. Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to see to like blame it. I would have to see like how anomalous that was. It doesn't feel like it was so anomalous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here in LA, there's a 30 degree spread regularly.
That's true.
I don't.
But
think
we're
like 30-
a desert. New England is a little bit more constant. It doesn't matter.
I say we take it off. It just doesn't. It's not really satisfying.
No, it's not feeling good. Building department. I'm keeping that on there for a little while.
Sure.
Let's talk about war.
Let's talk about war.
Mm-hmm. And prohibition and women's suffrage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a sad mirror to look in regarding this tragedy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I actually think that there's a really good argument to be made that preparing for prohibition spearheaded by the women's rights movement at the time did contribute to it.
Wow.
I mean, it breaks my little feminist heart to say it. But I see a correlation, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about that to really speak on it, but I do see a correlation.
There is a correlation, yeah. I don't know much about that either, that connection. I know that they were...
Yeah, they were connected in some way, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the fine
right.
print of that.
So maybe we can take women's, the suffragette.
Listen, I don't think it was the reason because, again,
see, but I want to keep prohibition up there.
Oh, okay.
Well, go on.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I agree.
Yeah, okay. So we'll take off
suffragettes.
Yes.
Keep prohibition up.
Keep prohibition because that
prohibition was a bad idea.
And it's causing like anxiety. These
yes,
people are
exactly.
Like, and not just anxiety about not being able to drink,
mm-hmm.
but.
Economic anxiety.
Anxiety. Yeah. Like all these people who have bars and restaurants and clubs. I mean, I don't know.
And
I don't know how the clubbing
liquor stores.
And liquor stores, yeah.
Sure.
And baseball games didn't, you know, have a beer at the baseball
America's
game.
Sport
exactly.
suffered.
Budweiser is freaking out. That's why you've got 2.3
right.
gallons.
Hoarding. Million,
so,
2.3 million.
Connected to the war. I mean, they just ended the war and everyone wants to drink after the war. And
totally.
So
I want to drink after the war.
Yeah. But what are we doing?
And
here,
during
though?
The war. Okay. But I still have to go back to nuts and bolts, literally nuts and bolts.
Okay.
And that's the person who made the freaking thing.
So I'm taking off prohibition and the war.
I mean, but they weren't even making it for alcohol. They were making alcohol to make bullets.
They were
or
doing
whatever,
both.
Not bullets.
At
but
first,
like,
yes, it was ammunition.
Ammunition.
But you know, after the war, they were just making it for alcohol. They were stocking up.
That's what this molasses stockpile was.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They wanted to make sure that they had a lot.
I don't know.
They weren't able to make their money off of it.
And
make
but
the use of the tank.
Yeah. I don't know. I still go back to like if it was a better tank. If it was a better tank.
So then
you're only as good as your tools, you know.
We still have capitalism, USIA.
Okay, I'll give up capitalism.
Okay, great. I'm ready to take it. I do understand your point. I do understand.
Because
it's that idea.
Because
sure.
greed also played into doing it fast.
Yes. That's why I want to keep it up there for a little. That's
oh.
why it stayed up there this
That's
long.
Why it stayed up there this long, yeah.
USIA and Arthur Gell.
Yeah, Artie Gell.
And the building department.
I mean, but the building department, again, was affected by
yeah.
the bursting. That didn't cause the bursting.
And I feel like now we know a little bit more about the importance of a building department. And maybe back then, like, it just... wasn't the kind of thing they had to worry about. I mean, this is the in the post, during, Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
So everything is happening so fast.
Fast, yes.
That it's hard to keep up.
Electricity is like just coming into some buildings sometimes, right?
So it comes down to Arthur Gell,
yeah,
USIA, and capitalism.
Wow. Okay, great. I'm so glad capitalism is still up there. But I mean, it's Gell, right? But Gell worked for USIA, correct? Yeah.
He's a company man.
But it's people, it's yes men that, you know, it's people, it's not evil people that cause tragedies, it's mediocre people doing their best that cause tragedies, which is really the saddest part about it all.
And that's a really good lesson for all of us to always take away and only think about ever.
And that's why you need checks and balances. But Gonzalez was doing his job.
Gonzalez is a hero.
The checks and balances were there, but they were not utilized correctly because he was like, I went there, I checked it out. There are little children collecting molasses in jars. And not to mention, I'm surprised that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gell didn't go himself. He sent a guy.
Exactly. And, you know, and now I'm convincing myself to take capitalism off the board because they were losing. If you're losing molasses, you're losing money.
Yeah. So what kind of a capitalist are you?
Exactly. If you're not.
I think Arthur Gell was just a lazy guy.
He wasn't thinking about the worst case scenario.
So I know that USIA was the one that was technically blamed for the tragedy, but I think we should blame Arthur Gell with a J.
I agree with you.
We needed Arthur to be a hero.
Yeah.
And instead, he was a zero. Okay, then it's settled.
Wow.
Arthur Gell. You're going to the alarmist jail. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Maggie.
Thank you so much for having me. It was truly a joy.
After the molasses flood, the USIA wasn't off the hook. Residents filed class action suits in the wake of the disaster. They were some of the first class action suits in Massachusetts and are considered a milestone in paving the way for modern corporate regulation. In 1925, a court-appointed auditor found USIA responsible after 3 years of hearings, and the company ultimately paid $628,000 in damages. That's $9.8 million in 2018 adjusted for inflation. Relatives of those killed reportedly received around $7,000 per victim, which is the equivalent of $101,000, and those injured received around $4,000. Vote for who you think is to blame. Go to www.thealarmistpodcast.com. And if you have any thoughts, send us an email at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at The Alarmist Podcast on Instagram and at AlarmistThe on Twitter. Start getting excited because next week we're doing the Irish potato famine. Yikes.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.